Amen, church. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike Hofer. I am the student ministries pastor here at Christ Community Church. And I just wanted to welcome you in to our moment with the word this morning, wherever you are, on your couch, in your kitchen, bathtub, wherever you might be, you're joining us this morning. We welcome you into our moment of word this morning. We miss you. We wish you were here. We wish you could give you a hug, a hand pound, or a high five. But we'll do all that virtually today. So put your hand up. That's what you get right there. So I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I want to talk a little bit about this idea that we're all kind of cooped up today, right? Like we're being told you can't go anywhere, or you can't go into groups of more than 10, or whatever the rule may be wherever you are. Some people right now in the country are just on lockdown. They can't go anywhere at all unless it's an emergency or to the grocery store. And so we have it a little better than that right now in Columbus, but it's moving that direction. But there's this idea that was rolling through my mind while this is all happening about how do we as the church practice faith in times like these? You see, because James tells us that faith without deeds, without good deeds, is dead. And so if that's the truth, if that's scripture and it is, if that's God's word and it is, how do we in times like these practice faith? One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called A Knight's Tale. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but it's got Heath Ledger was the lead in that movie, and he's passed away since then. But this is his greatest work, even including the Joker from the Batman series. Like, A Knight's Tale was Heath Ledger's greatest work of all time. And here's why. It illustrated this idea that you started from the bottom, now you're here. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a peasant in the time of the medieval ages. And in those days, you couldn't change your stars. And that was the phrase that he would often use. His dad told him, he said, "You can change your stars." And so Heath Ledger was sold to his character, not Heath himself, but his character was sold to a guy who was a lord at the time. And so this guy happened to be in jousting. Like, he was a, I don't even know what they call those guys, like a jouster, I guess. And so he'd travel around Europe and he'd enter these joust competitions. And Heath was his little mage or his little servant, if you will. And so he would get his stuff together. He would wash his armor, all that kind of stuff. And eventually this guy dies. And Heath puts on the armor and says, "I'm going to go be a knight." And his two buddies are like, "You can't do it. It's above our station. You cannot be a knight." Well, he does it anyway, and he enters all these tournaments. He's really good at it. He gets really good at it. And then there's this one scene where he's about to joust the guy who's the villain, who's the best in the land. And that guy went basically and tails on him. And so they come and they arrest him, because in those days you couldn't do those things. You couldn't improve your station like that. You had to be born of noble blood. And so they take him and they put him in the stocks. You know what the stocks are? That was that thing where you put your head and your arms through and they clamped it down on your neck and you just kind of stood there. And back then, how they did it was they would put you in the center square into the marketplace, and people could come by and throw tomatoes at you and lettuce. They could throw whatever they wanted at you, and you were just embarrassed because you did something that was above your station and that you shouldn't have been doing. Well, there's a part of the movie that I skipped, and it's this part where Heath Ledger's character is about to joust against this guy that no one knows. They called him the Black Knight. And all of a sudden you hear these rumblings, everybody's talking, and all of a sudden everybody's running up, and whoever goes against this guy would just forfeit. Come to find out, this guy in the Black Knight armor was next in line for the throne of England. He was the king's son. And when it became time for Heath Ledger's character to go up against the Black Knight, he did not yield. he tilted his lance, and they went at each other, and they had this competition. And on the second try, Heath ends up injuring the king's son. And the king's son meets him in the middle, and he says, "I'm injured." He said, "But I don't want to quit. I can't let people see me quit." And so Heath goes over, and he just calls it a draw, basically. We'll jump back to the stocks. All of a sudden, Heath is now in the stocks, and up walks the king's son. And he looks at him, and he kneels down. Everybody's kneeling, because that's what you do in the presence of royalty. And the king's son kneels down into the stocks, and he says, "Your friends, they love you. And if I knew nothing else about you, that would be enough." He said, "You show mercy when you should attack. And if I knew nothing else about you, that would be enough." And the king goes on, he releases him from the stocks and knights him there in front of everybody and makes him a knight. And Heath goes on, just like every great movie, to defeat the villain and get the girl and ride off into the sunset. But there's something I want us to hear in that story when it applies to how do we live out our faith in times like these. You see, we live out our faith through love and through mercy. And both of those things on paper can be seen as completely opposites. But I want to look at the book of James today, and I really want to dive into it and decide, what does it mean for us to live love and to live mercy in times like these when we can't even leave our own living room, but yet somehow we have to get into this idea that Jesus is still who he is, and God is still on the throne, and we are still anointed and called to live faith in action. We are to love and provide mercy as the church. You see, the buildings might be closed, but the church is not. We are the church. So how do we do that in times like these? So if you're sitting at home, wherever you are, open up your Bibles, get your Bible app out, whatever you do, and turn to the book of James, chapter 2. Book of James, chapter 2. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you a little bit of context of what's going on here in James, because it's going to help you understand the scriptures a little more as you turn there and you find James chapter 2. The context is that in James's day when he wrote this, the city of Jerusalem was still under Roman law. They were still under the Roman authority. There was a lot of oppression going on. And what was happening was the Roman government would look at the Jewish people and they saw them as less than anything else in the entire caste system. Even the most wealthy of Jewish people under Roman law were seen as nothing. And so what you had happening was the Jewish people then, even the wealthy Jewish people, would start to treat their poor like they were nothing. Because they were getting oppressed by the Roman government, the more high rich people in the Jewish context, the Jewish society, were treating their own poor like they were nothing. And yet in the same breath, they would do nothing to help the poor and the oppressed, and they would say that they had faith in a God that pulled them out of Egypt. And so that's the context in which you hear the writing of James. I think when we see it in context, it shifts the way we see it a little more. And so think about that when you hear these words in James, because you see, perspective is everything. I remember when I was in college, a professor had us go and take it was a synoptic gospels class, and we'd ask the question, like, why are the gospels look like they're different from each other, or that they might contradict each other? And he said, it's a matter of perspective. And he had us go out, and he had us sit on four corners in a really busy intersection. And on the four corners, we all took journals, and we started to write down what we saw. And so all four of us would see different things in the same time frame, on the same corner, looking at the same things, and perspective was everything. What was your perspective at? What did you see, the angle of the truck leaving? Did you see the person inside the truck? Did you not? Did you see the color? Did you see the birds in the air? Did you see the sun? Did you notice the trees? Perspective is everything. And so when we read the book of James, I want you to have the perspective that this is in a system of oppression where the Jewish leaders and the religious law teachers were treating the poor and the oppressed as nothing. And so let's read. Let's read in James. What does James say? Chapter 2, starting with verse 14, says this. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? See, what good does it do if we see the need and we have faith in God, but yet we don't do anything with our faith? I was in Mississippi traveling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, back to Decatur, Alabama. Me and a buddy of mine were in my Jeep Grand Cherokee in Mississippi, and we're traveling back from the USBC National Bowling Tournament in Baton Rouge. We stopped at a little rest stop, a little exit that really had nothing but a McDonald's and a KFC and a Dollar General, because Dollar General is everywhere, McDonald's is everywhere, and KFC is getting everywhere. And so we stopped at this little know-nothing exit, and we stopped there, and we went into McDonald's, and my buddy Steve went to go get in line, and I had to use the restroom, like we all do, right? That's natural. We all go to the restroom. And so I had to use the restroom. I said, Steve, I'll meet you in line. He said, okay. And so I go to the restroom, and I get ready to use the restroom, and it was the sit-down kind. And so I have my keys in my hand, nothing in this hand, get ready, get everything done the way you're supposed to do before you use the restroom, and I sat down on the toilet, put my hands on my legs, and my keys fell out of my hand into the toilet. Now you got decisions have to be made here. Now this is pre-coronavirus, and I promise I bleached my hands afterwards. Hadn't started using the restroom yet, so I'm like, I'll just reach in and get them. The moment I reached in to get my keys, the automatic flush went off. Flushed my keys clean down the toilet. Now what do I do? So I get everything back together. I go out to Steve, and Steve's waiting in line. I just kind of walk up to him, like, just bewildered, and I said, Steve, flush my keys down the toilet. He said, what? Because that's what I would have done. I flushed my keys down the toilet. He said, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, no, we're stuck. We're still 4 hours from Decatur. My wife, Kristen, was 9.5 months pregnant with my daughter, Alex. We were stuck. I didn't want to call her. So I'm like, Steve, we got to figure this out. We can do this. And so we go back out to the Jeep, and I thought I had a spare key in the Jeep. So I'm like, all I got to do is break in. And so I actually took the antenna off my Jeep, put it in the window, and I'm like trying to get the lock undone. We've all been there. We've all done that before. Trying to get the lock undone, and all of a sudden a sheriff drives by. And the sheriff comes up to us, and he just looks at us. He goes, hey, guys, what are you doing? And of course, I tell him this whole story. I'm like, I flushed my keys down the toilet. We're locked out. We're trying to get back to Alabama. And he goes, all right, have a nice day. Left us. That's how we treat people sometimes as a church. We have faith, but no action. So in times like these, how do we take our faith and still put it into action? James goes on and says, see, you have faith, but itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. But Pastor Mike, how can I act out my faith when I'm stuck here at home, when I'm stuck here wherever I am? Let me tell you, our faith is meant to be acted out. It's meant to be acted out. You see, because without action with our faith is flat. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of, this isn't what saves you. What saves you is faith in who Christ is. What saves you is the fact that Jesus died and already paid it and said it is finished. That's what saves us. Our salvation comes in Christ alone, and nothing else can save us. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough. We can't be smart enough. We can't serve enough. Only thing that saves us is faith in Christ. But after that happens, there's more to it than just salvation. And James says, if all we have is faith in the fact that Christ saved us and we do nothing about it, our faith is dead. It's useless. It's flat. James goes on and says, now some may argue. Some people have faith. Others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? You see, some people start to argue that, well, you have your faith, and I have my good deeds, and you do you, and I'll do me. Well, and this is where we get into arguments. Well, that's not my calling. That's not my gift set. Listen, just put your faith into action. God has anointed you and equipped you to do good things for the kingdom. It's not about us other than we put it into action. God does the saving. God does the calling. God does the anointing. The Holy Spirit leads. The Holy Spirit empowers. The Holy Spirit guides. We just have to be obedient and take the step and say, I'm putting it into action. When people see our faith, do they see action? Or do they just see a church that's just going about its business? Meeting in homes, meeting in buildings, meeting in certain places, meeting online. And yet they don't see any change in their communities. I heard a pastor once say at a conference, if your building closed down tomorrow, would your community miss you? If you moved out of your neighborhood tomorrow, would your neighbors miss you? If you left your job tomorrow, would there be a hole for the gospel that was left? You see, faith without action is dead. Jesus says in John 13:35, they will know you are my disciples by the way you love. You see, love is an action word. See, love is one of those things that when you have it, you know it. When you don't have it, you also know it. When you're getting love, you can feel it. When you're not getting love, you can feel it. You know love because it happens. Something is going on. There's an action that goes with it. It's the difference between just saying I love you to someone and actually showing up and showing that person how much you love them. I've been seeing these pictures and these videos on social media this week of these young millennials and Gen Z. I know millennials are in their 30s. I get that argument. I got it. But you guys are awesome, and so are the Gen Zs. You guys are doing great things, and you'll do great things for the kingdom. I see these videos and these pictures of these Gen Zs and these millennials who are going to these nursing homes where their grandparents are locked in, but they can't go in to visit because they don't want to be a passer of the COVID-19 virus. And so they're standing outside of their room at the window, and they're writing notes to each other, and they're talking on the phone to each other. Then they're doing this in a way that they're showing their love for their grandparents. So how in times like these do we put our faith into action so it's not dead? James goes on and says, don't you remember your ancestor Abraham was shown to be right by God by his actions? And when he offered his son Isaac on the altar, You see his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. You see, we often talk about Abraham, and we go through this story of Abraham, and we talk about him in the Old Testament, like all the stuff that he did. But then when we get to the New Testament, we preach these scriptures sometimes as all Abraham had was faith. And that's false. Abraham actually took his faith and did something with it. He literally laid his son on an altar and picked up a knife to sacrifice because God told him to. And then God provided a way out, the lamb for the sacrifice. But he put that faith into action. And though the action and the faith working together, faith and action walking together, is what made him a friend of God. That's what was attributed to him as righteousness. Not just a faith that's mine and mine alone, but one that works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit in a community. It finishes up. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions. When she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without works. Good works, good deeds, good actions. So we can go through this lockdown, this COVID-19 virus, whatever's happening in the community in which you're in. We can go through this because he is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is who he says he is. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the great physician. He knit every one of us together in our mother's womb before we were even born. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every DNA cell in our body. He can do it. He can get rid of it right now. In Jesus' name, that can happen. But I'm telling you what else, church, is that you need to figure out how to work your faith and put it in action in the time like these. So how do we do that, Pastor Mike? I'm just going to give you some practical things I think we can do in a time like these. I know this is throwback, and hopefully some of y'all can still do this. Just write somebody a letter. Handwrite a letter. You guys remember that? Remember we used to handwrite things? I know you got probably got to work it out, like get it massaged up and get it ready. And handwrite something. Get a pen or a pencil. Lauren's the best at this at our office. She handwrites everything. It's awesome. Handwrite somebody a letter. Mail it while the post is still working. Or just take it next door to your neighbor and put it on their door. Handwrite something to somebody. You can also host a Zoom party. Some of you guys are like, what is a Zoom party? Zoom is an app. It is like FaceTime where you can video conference with people. We're doing all of our meetings at the church this way right now. The youth pursuit is doing a live service on Wednesday through Zoom. We're going to start prayer groups through Zoom. We're going to be doing our leadership development groups on Sunday nights through Zoom. We can do all of these things with the technology that's been given today. So call up a couple friends, tell them to download the Zoom app, and you guys get together and host a party. Play cards online together, play a video game online together, watch a movie online together. But whatever you do, put your faith in action and stay connected. You can also journal and blog every day. That's a way to put your faith in action. God will speak to you through those moments that you have alone with him. Journal and blog. And then maybe one day you're going to share and you're going to write the book that everybody's talking about that happened during the COVID-19 virus. And God's going to use that action and your faith to glorify the kingdom of God. Go to ccclive.org and volunteer to be someone who says, you know what, there's needs out there, and I want to be a part of fulfilling those needs. We're trying to connect needs with people who want to volunteer and fill those needs together in a way that's not like face-to-face, but you're going to be able to help somebody's in need. So go to ccclive.org, our website, and sign up to be a volunteer to do that. That's another way. This one's tough. Sometimes our faith in action requires us to not do something. And in a time like these, what we should not be doing is spreading fear and panic and anxiety over social media. I know we need to stay informed. I know it. I know we need to stay informed. We need to know what's going on. But in a time like these, as Christ followers, our faith is in the one who controls the earth, not the one who controls the government. I'm going to say that again, church. Somebody in their living room should have said amen. Our faith is in the one who controls the earth, not in the one who controls the government. Stop. Do something positive on Facebook. Do something positive on Instagram. Do something positive on TikTok or whatever other social media site that you're on. Do some. Put your faith in action and build up people. Speak life into people. Speak encouragement into people, and not fear and anxiety and propaganda, but speak life. In a time like these, that's putting your faith into action. I was talking to Pastor Dwayne earlier. Our worship pastor was playing the piano earlier. He said he's going to start encouraging his worship people to maybe just post videos of song and worship on Facebook or on social media. That's putting your faith into action, something positive. Lastly, to put our faith in action sometimes requires us just to be still. Part of what James talks about in these verses is to love and to show mercy. We can love people by doing those action things. We can show mercy by being still. What do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? I mean this. We're showing mercy right now to people who cannot do things for themselves, who have immune systems that are not as solid as some of ours. We're showing mercy by self-quarantining. We're showing mercy by social distancing. We're showing mercy by doing the things that's going to help the people that cannot help themselves at a time like these. That is not fear. That is not saying that God can't do it. That's just saying I'm going to sacrifice something that I want to do for somebody who cannot do it themselves. And that's putting your faith in action. So at a time like these, there are many ways we can put our faith in action. And James says that faith without works, like a body with no breath, is dead. Church, I pray in the name of Jesus against the COVID-19 virus. I also pray that in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would put our faith into action in a time like these. We would love and show mercy in a time like these. And this morning, how we're going to close, how we're going to respond to this message, is we're going to put our faith in action. We're going to participate in a means of grace, which is his communion. And I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to ask our lead pastor, Pastor Derek, to come up and lead us in communion together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Father God, I thank you for the fact that James spoke truth those many years ago in an oppressive system of the Roman government and the Jewish government at the time that he was in. But it also speaks into our times right now, like the times like these, to put our faith into action, even from our own homes, even from our own couches, even when we're locked up and told to social distance. Father, I pray right now that the people of God, the church, would put their faith in action. And Father, may you receive the glory. May your kingdom be expanded. May lives be transformed in the name of Jesus. Amen.